I may not have riches as some others may, but I have a mother who knows how to pray. And maybe there are some things I've missed in my youth, but I have a father who stands for the truth. I have a goodly heritage. I'm blessed with things you can't see. I have a goodly heritage, and that is worth far more to me. And if in the future my parents pass on to dwell in that city we've come to call home, they may not leave me the goods of this world, but I will inherit their God and His word. I have a goodly heritage. I'm blessed with things you can't see. I have a goodly heritage, and that is worth far more to me. And that is worth far more, and that is worth far more to me.
Take your Bibles, please, this morning. Turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 7 this morning. Luke chapter 7. We're going to read verses 11 through 18 this morning in Luke chapter 7. I'm going to read aloud as you read along silently. So as you're finding your place, please, Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 18. If you're able, please stand to your feet this morning as we read the Word of God together. You silently, and I'll read aloud. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this passage in the Word of God on this special day. God, use it to help us all today. Lord, the Word of God is powerful and it's quick. And it will go forth and accomplish what needs to be accomplished. So, Father, we ask that you anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power to preach to us today, whether in this room or on the internet. And Lord, if there's somebody that's in this room or listening on the internet that does not know Jesus as their Savior, I pray they would trust him today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, we'll ask you to do two things real quickly. Number one, make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate. If it goes off in the service, ushers will come forth with large clubs and beat you about the head and shoulders. So we don't want to cause any blood on the carpets. It's costly. Help us with that. Number two is keep your Bible open this morning, would you? Do you think about your mom on Mother's Day? Do you think about her? Some cases, mom's with us, and some cases, mom's in heaven. I was thinking about my mom this morning. If you know my, remember my testimony, I used to live in this town with my mom and her second husband, who was a bartender here in Reading. He was a drunk. My mother was a drunk. My life here as a child in this city was not what you would call pleasant. But I'll tell you something about my mom. I know she loved us. She cared for us. It was a difficult situation and tough on her. She's a little woman. But don't take little to mean anything but little because she was tough. She was a Texan. My dad's from Oklahoma. My mother's from Texas. It was a mixed marriage. I saw her stand toe-to-toe with that big, raw-boned, drunk stepfather of mine. He beat her till he knocked teeth out of her mouth. I'd step on him on the floor when I'd go to the kitchen in the morning to get breakfast. But my mom loved us. She had a great sense of humor. She was a very intelligent woman. And I was thinking about her today. She's been in heaven many years now. You think about your mom on Mother's Day. It's one of those times where we do all this stuff for mom and then the rest of the year we ignore her. Preachers love Mother's Day. Mom always wants to go to church on Mother's Day. Dad wants to go to the lake on Father's Day, but mom wants to go to church on Mother's Day. So I appreciate that about moms. Here's a mom in Luke chapter 7. The Bible says her only son, has died. She is a widow, so her husband is gone. She has no family. Her only son is dead, and she's part of the funeral procession, taking him out to the graveside. She's a widow, and so she's lost her husband also. Now it's all going, now listen, it's all going forward from here, and now Jesus, the Bible said, happened to pass by. That's all right, she's fine. Let her sit right there, that's okay. Jesus is passing by, and he sees the funeral procession, and he sees this widow walking behind. He doesn't know she's a widow. He doesn't know that's her only son. But he sees her grief. Now listen, and the Bible says the whole city had come out with her to this procession. While they're coming out there, Jesus stops and he sees her, and the Bible says he has compassion on her. And he stops and he touches the bier, B-I-E-R. That's not the drinking type of wicked stuff. We're talking about a funeral carriage. He stops, he touches the carriage, and he speaks to the young man, and he says, "Son, arise." And the mom, who had lost her motherhood and her son, gets her son and her motherhood back. And everyone, of course, is just amazed. She's a nameless lady. We don't know what her name is. But for some reason, Jesus decided this mom needed to be a mom. So he, like Jesus could only do, totally interrupted the funeral service. Stopped the whole process. By the way, if you know your Bible very well, you know this is only one of three accounts in Scripture where Jesus raised someone from the dead. We believe he did more than that because John 21 tells us if everything that Jesus did was recorded, the world itself could not contain all the volume. Listen, he would go into a village and he would leave. There would be nobody sick when he was done. He would raise the dead. I mean, but for some reason, God recorded these three accounts in Scripture. And this one in particular is important because it's a young man. The first account was where Jesus raised a Jairus' daughter, a young girl. She had been dead for several days. He touched her took her by the hand, said, "Maid, I say unto thee, arise." And she came back to life. This young man here is a young guy. He touches the funeral carriage. He touches the conditions around this young man, and he arises. And then the third time is Lazarus, had been dead 4 days. He was a man And Jesus called him from the grave. He just spoke and he came out. There's something in that about touching someone's life, about touching the circumstances, about speaking to people, that how shall God does his work. You know something, ladies and gentlemen, this lady, she's going to teach us something this morning on this Mother's Day. A mother who became a mother again. First of all, she had a testimony, this lady. See, look in your Bible. That's why I want to keep your Bible open this morning. Look in verse 12. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Now, look at this statement. And much people of the city was with her. The whole city, it seemed, came out, or a lot of people from the city came out of respect to this lady. She had a testimony. Everybody has a testimony. That means what is known about you, what is said about you, and what you have left for others that's known and said about you. She had a testimony. Moms need to be concerned about their testimony. Dads do too. Young people do too. Everybody does. But in this particular case, she came out. When she did, the Bible said many of the city came to be with her. And the crowd with her was there out of respect to her testimony. Do people respect your testimony? They may not like it, but they should respect it. When I worked in the secular world in the lunch meat factory, the rule is do not eat packaged lunch meat. I made it. Trust me, do not, under any terms, eat packaged lunch meat. When the deli guy takes a chunk and slices it off, this is good. Packaged lunch meat, this is bad. Do not eat. I'm just trying to help you. But the truth is, when I worked in this lunch meat factory, I found out right away I was the only Christian in the place, 300 people on the shift. And right off the bat, they found out right away that I was a Bible college student studying to be a pastor, and more importantly, I was a Christian. I didn't walk in with one of them big hippie Jesus family Bibles under my arm and start yelling at people. I just lived like a Christian, acted like a Christian. Right away, I had a testimony in that place. They even called me the preacher. Watch out, here comes the preacher. They thought they were insulting me or making fun of me. It's like saying, here comes the white guy. I mean, it was no big deal. I was, yeah, I'm a preacher. So I had a testimony in that lunch meat factory. So everything I would do was watched by those who were watching my testimony. I was working on a big piece of machinery with a great big wrench, and it was cold in the room to keep germs off the meat. I don't know why. Nothing could live on that stuff. And I was right by this block wall, and my hand slipped off this wrench as I was trying to break this big nut loose, and I just drove my fist into the wall. Hands were cold. Man, it hurt. And I was holding my hand. I looked down, and two guys that were working with me were looking at me. They wanted to see what I was going to do. And this one guy goes, "You going to cuss, preacher?" I said, "No, if you write one down, I'll sign it, though." Man, that hurt. Cotton picking. It's probably not the right answer. But I didn't cuss, okay? They were looking at me. They were watching my testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, why don't we value that testimony? Not just that we have a reputation, but we have a testimony of a child of God, a testimony who lives in the world but not of the world, a testimony of a life that is a different life than what people see. See, most Christians think we're supposed to blend in and be like everybody else, act like everybody else, talk like everybody else, live like everybody else, do what everybody else does, even look like everybody else, just do it all. We're supposed to be just like everybody else. No, we're supposed to come out of this world and be separate. There should be a testimony of our life, of a godly life. The world needs to see that. That's the salt and light principle, where we are salt of this earth and light in this world, because we're supposed to. Do you have that, mom, dad, young person? This lady had such a testimony when her son died. The Bible said a man, he was a grown man. This lady has just lost every earthly family member she could possibly have. And the city said, this lady needs our encouragement. And they came with her because she had a testimony. And you do. Question is, what kind of a testimony is it? You know, this lady will teach us something else too. She knew some loss in her life. She is a widow, and now she doesn't even have her son. You ever wonder why, you know, the expression is, why do good things happen to bad people? And why do bad things happen to good people? We look at things like this. You know, how you handle loss in your life says a lot about what you are, what you believe, and where you stand with God. See, the Bible says it's not wrong to sorrow. It says, we sorrow not as others which have no hope. We sorrow, We grieve loss just like everybody else does. And that's fine. We're supposed to do that. That's a natural process of our minds. That's fine. You know what? We get upset at things. We suffer loss too. We lose jobs. We lose health issues. We have problems in our life. We all suffer loss. Everybody goes through loss in life. That's a part of the deal. That's a part of life itself. The issue isn't, are you going to experience loss? The issue is, how do you handle that? I know there's not much implied here in Scripture, but it would seem to me, besides her grief for her loss, this lady's testimony must have been of somebody who was pretty genuine. You show me when you're in the fire, when you're in trouble, when you're having difficulty, when you're going through something. You show me and you show others what you believe and why. You find out if you got one of those Sunday morning shallow kind of Christianities, where as long as you prosper and it goes well and you got what you want, you're good to go. But man, when trouble comes, when the knock on the door is there, the phone call at midnight, when there's something that happens and you suffer loss, I know people go to pieces because the parakeet dies and they can't take it anymore and life's over for them and they'll never be the same. And wait a minute. Whatever happened to the grace of God that helps us with our life? Hey, listen to me, the balm of Gilead that heals up the wounds. What about the grace of God that gives us comfort like nobody can comfort us? This lady, she knew loss in her life. This lady's also someone who was an object of Jesus' compassion. It says in Luke chapter 7 and verse number 13, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Can I ask you a question this morning? Listen. Which was better for this lady, to have known no loss or to become the special object of Jesus' concern? See, we think it has to be all good, silvery seas, no problem. That's the best life. Well, it's a good life, but it's not the best one. See, if this lady had never lost her husband and now has an adult son who has died, if that had never happened to her, Jesus, listen to me, Jesus would have passed the city of Nain, had never known this lady, never seen this lady, never knew a thing about her in her life. But because she's on her way out, she's no doubt, he must have known she was a widow. She probably had her widow's garments on her. Maybe that was the case. But he saw her carriage. They were carrying an adult man on that carriage. And Bible said when Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her, went to her and said, weep not. See, what was better for this lady, as hard as this is for us to comprehend, what was better for this lady is to have known the difficulty, to become the object of God's concern and his care. See, that's not worldly thinking. No. Worldly thinking is, I got to get what I want, I got to get what I have, I got to keep what I have, I got to get more of it, and as long as I get what I want in life, I'm happy. Those kind of people are never happy. You know why? Because they never have enough. Whatever they get, it's not enough. Whatever you provide them, it's not enough. Whatever they think their life will not be good with, unless they have it, once they get it, they won't be happy with it because they got to get something else. And it just goes on. But then there are those people who go through the times of life where there's difficulty and loss and in their life, and yet there's the grace of God that helps them. They go through the valley, but yea, they walk through the valley of the shadow of death. They fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yeah, those kind of people, they know the special object of God's care and concern. See, well, it would be better to have her son. Jesus is going to take care of that. But if he didn't, she got to have a moment with the Lord Jesus Christ where he simply stopped and said, weep not, dear lady. I hope you have something with the Lord that's a lot more real than what you have with stuff in this life. I hope there's something more to what you have in life than just what you get. The Bible says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. It didn't say without Christ. It said, if all you have in this life, if in this life only, all you have is hope in Christ. Hope, but not reality. You got something real with God, friend? Let's make it simple this morning. Do you have something real with God? Something where that starts with your salvation. You accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Trusting him alone for your salvation, you accept him as your Lord and your Savior. Trust in Jesus alone to save you. That starts the relationship with your God. Then throughout your life, you have his Bible. You have prayer. You have the things of God in your life. You know what you do? You develop then a relationship with your God and a fellowship with him. And then when times come that you don't get it all. And nothing happens that you want, and you have difficulties. You know what? The Lord is there with you. He promised to never leave us or forsake us. There's something about the dark midnight hour where it's just you and God. And you know what you find out? That's all you really needed anyway, was just you and Him. Unless, of course, you've been banking up on God. You got to treat Him like I call it, like the fireman. We go by the fire. Nobody ever goes by the fire station and says, fellas, thanks for being on duty. Thanks for standing by. Nobody pays attention to the fireman until something's burning. Then everybody wants the fireman to get his hose and his carcass over there to your house and put the fire out. But up till then, we don't really need the firemen. We just go by the fire station and leave the firemen over there and never pay attention or respect to them or whatever else in our lives. That's how a lot of people are with God. They got God in a fire station somewhere, and they're just waiting for something to burn. Woo! Then they get serious about God. Guess what? You're always going to have something burning then, because God will keep it burning to keep you coming to Him. But that's not necessary. This lady is the object of the Lord's concern, His compassion, and the truth is her loss was actually about to become a blessing. What does the lady teach us on this Mother's Day? She let Jesus do what she couldn't. They're carrying the carriage out. Her son is dead. No doubt she's right behind her. Head is down. Tears down her face. Jesus says, weep not, lady. He touches the bier and says, young man, arise. Lady, you got your son back. She couldn't do that. I don't care who you are, what you are. You can't do that. Okay? That's what she couldn't do. Jesus did what she couldn't do. I love how moms are good about trying to fix everything. Fix everybody's stuff, everybody's relationships, everybody's getting along, everybody's living, everybody's life. Moms want to fix everything. They want to get their hands on everything and deal with everything. If there's one thing moms could learn from dads is don't try to fix everything. You could learn that. Now, one thing dads can learn is get off your carcass and try to fix something, for goodness sakes. That's a whole nother message. Come back on Father's Day. But the truth of the matter is, that's the way moms are. They're just fixers. They want to fix stuff. They want to repair things. This lady realizes she has no husband. Now she has no son. She's on her way to cemetery. It's just a grief situation. And Jesus steps in and says, let me do for you what you can't. You got that kind of Jesus helping you in your life? Because there'll come a time when you can't. I'll guarantee you. There'll come a time, no matter what you do, you can't. No. No matter how hard you try, you can't be a fixer. No matter what you do, you'll not repair anything. You can't. There'll come a time, but not just for moms. That goes for anybody. Hey, friend, there'll come a time when you will come to the end of whatever you are, whatever you have, and whatever you can do. You'll come to the end of your character. You'll come to the end of your strength. You'll come to the place where you can't, and you just can't anymore. And you know what you'll find out? Jesus still can. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Oh, there's a God who can, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what we've got to do? Number one, we've got to acknowledge that we can't. We've got to acknowledge that He can. We've got to acknowledge that we need Him. We've got to let Him do what He can do in our lives. And this lady just stood there a moment and Jesus made her a mother again. And hey, this is the best way. She didn't have to train him, teach him. He gave her back an adult son. No diapers. No midnight tears when we watch our granddaughters. My wife says, well, we should probably change their diaper. And I go, oh, no. Please. You pick her up and say, no, Madeline. No surprises for Grapes, okay? She's only one. She'll look at you. And then you go, oh, Madeline, Madeline, Madeline. Sweetheart, it's halfway up your back. This is not good. The other day we had her. I was carrying her through the house. We had to shower her off. I mean, this is to help you with lunch later on. She didn't have to do all that. No teething. She didn't even have to raise a teenager. It's because a grown man. Can you imagine Jesus making you a mother without all the precursors of everything that goes on? He gave her back her son. Because, friend, Jesus can do what you can't if you let Him. And she became a mother again. Notice she regained the loss of her son. She is given the privilege of being a mother again. That is a privilege, you know. It's not a biological privilege. It's a privilege. It's not just a rite of birth thing. It's a privilege to be a mother. Motherhood has been under attack in America for so long now. And now it's getting ugly out there. And I mean ugly. They're accusing people who believe Bible principles and live by biblical principles. Somehow we're against motherhood. Last time I checked it, that came from the Bible. Didn't happen because of some biological function. It became about because of what a woman learned a mother's supposed to be in the scriptures. Amen. Hey, listen now. Listen to me. Young lady, grab a seat or something, would you, Carol? Thank you. Here's the deal. Now listen. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, she got the privilege to be a mom again. Is that how you still see it? Motherhood is still a privilege. You know, it has all the stuff that goes with it. I understand that. There are issues with it. There's times when every mom wants to just... and head for the hills. You know why? Because I'm a dad and I know I've always wanted to do that myself. Come to think of it, it happens. But Jesus is giving her a privilege now to go back and be a mom again. It was a God-given thing. We're not what we are as parents because we choose to do so. We are what we are as parents because God gave us the privilege of that life. This lady... She's on her way to a funeral, and she goes home with a son. God had a much better view of this thing than we did. Much better than she could see. Hell? Question. What God has given you in your life, is that a privilege from him, or does it belong to you? Does what you own, do you own it, or does it own you? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Hey, now, listen. Let Jesus restore what we cannot. Have a testimony that matters for God and for good.